Welcome into the Hawks Talk Podcast, your source for everything about the Upper Valley Nighthawks. As always, Ian Binky, joined alongside by Megan Robinson and Allie Wenskowski. And we're getting down to the end of this season. We've only got just about a week left, and the Nighthawks are right in the playoff chase.
They certainly are. I mean, they only have six more games, all divisional opponents coming up. I mean, they play two against Keene starting off tonight, and then off to there, it's more division, two against Vermont, Sanford's in there. And, I mean, that's the end of the season. I mean, we're coming up. The last game is scheduled as of now for Tuesday, but they're right in the chances. They're not going away. I don't think we're going to have an answer until Sunday, Monday, maybe.
Yeah, I honestly can't believe that it's August already. I think the season has flown by, but the next few games should be really interesting. Like Allie said, they're all divisional opponents, and we do play really strong in the North Division, so it's going to be interesting to see how everything goes out.
Yeah, winning record against Sanford this season, 500 against both Keene and Vermont. You might think that's not great, but you look at where those teams are coming into today, all three of those teams among the top five in the league, including Vermont, the best record overall. So staying 500 against a rival, you probably want to beat them every time you come out, but playing them close all season long, spare that one game, it's really where you want to be, and it gives you a chance here to pull something off. We'll take a look at the other teams, but as the team says on the bus, really one of the motivating factors, staying on us here for a moment. The team's doing pretty much what they have to, especially in the division, to stay close in a playoff chase.
They certainly are. I think they come like bats a-fighting, especially I think it helps that Vermont is the Governor's Cup. I think that just provides a little bit extra motivation. I mean, we play them two more times, and they're the hardest team to beat in the league record-wise, but we have gotten a few games out of them. I mean, they only have 8 losses on the season, and the Nighthawks have a few of them on their own, so I think they came off really strong against Vermont to start the season, playing for that Governor's Cup. But I think that extra motivation might just be what Upper Valley needs coming in with their game against them on Sunday and then their final game of the season being against them.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that Vermont, like Allie said, is completely – they're more challenging to beat in this division. But the guys – the competition between Vermont and – the Nighthawks is pretty strong. Like, it's always going to be there. And I think the guys, like earlier we were talking to Price and Tamburo, they're pretty riled up to compete against them this week.
Looking at the standings overall coming into today as we're recording this on Thursday morning, so no games happening yet. But as we're speaking, Upper Valley is clinging on to that 8th seed right now. They have the last playoff spot by the matter of winning percentage. The Nighthawks are 17-20 with a .459 winning percentage. Meanwhile, Valley is 16-19 with a .457. But if Valley makes up those two games that they haven't played yet, and they go 500 in those games, they figure they win one, lose one, get the same record, they then have the tiebreaker over Upper Valley, winning the season series 2-1. So if Nighthawks want to make playoffs, they have to do their job, but also they have to look at Valley and figure they need to lose one more game than the Nighthawks win.
It's certainly an interesting thing just because not only are they just like clinging on, but it's so close. I mean, I feel like every day it switches between we're half a game in or they're half a game out. And even coming down to yesterday, even if we were to like win a couple of those games, we would stay in, but we ended up losing both. But we still stayed in by a fraction, a hair of a point, just because Valley took home the loss. But I think it really could go either way at this point. It just depends what the Nighthawks do against their divisional opponents.
I think going into this potential playoff season, I think it's the guys have to focus on things that they've been working on all season and just kind of perfect it. You know, get ahead on the count, get those strikes, don't leave extra runners on base. And I think that consistency for everybody is key in this time.
And looking at the team in the 7th seed right now, the Martha's Vineyard Sharks, they're only one full game ahead of Upper Valley coming into today. And it's really going to be interesting for them as well, because they're in a similar spot where they play a ton of really good teams. They've got Newport in their division. They got them a couple more times. And in fact, they started a stretch of playing five straight games against teams with 20 wins or more. So it's going to be an uphill battle for them to even stay in that playoff spot coming into today at 18-19. But if they go on a cold stretch here, especially after playing some really talented teams, it's going to be tough for them to maintain that spot, although it does get a little bit easier from there on out playing the likes of North Shore and Ocean State. We'll talk about them in a little bit. They're not out of it, but it does get a little bit easier, but they start out tough.
Yeah, certainly. I think the Nighthawks could even move into that seven spot if the Sharks get cold. And I think another thing to think about is that the players are just going to start to get tired. I mean, we're coming into the end of the two-month mark playing baseball, and almost every day that can get tiring, especially the Nighthawks are on their streak of 9 games in 8 days to finish off the season after some rainouts were rescheduled to this end of the month, especially playing a doubleheader against North Shore yesterday. So not only just losing a lot of guys off the team due to injuries or they're just going home, but they're tired. I mean, they've been playing baseball for a while.
Yeah, like we have, you know, the last 6 games of this upcoming week. We have 4 home and then 2 away, but I think there's no breaks and the guys are going to be pretty extra tired this week. I think we will too, probably.
There's potential as well on the 31st, if necessary, to make up that third Danbury game. Right now, not on the schedule, but if it's a case of the Nighthawks need a win to get into playoffs or a win to get into the 7th seed, or if the playoffs are uncertain, then it does become a necessary game to play on the 31st. So stay tuned to the Nighthawks official website, social media for all that kind of information. But now dropping below the playoff cut line and teams that are on the outside looking in, it's a really close fight for among 3 teams here. I mean, there's 2 right now that can be eliminated with the games today in North Adams and Danbury. But around that, a game and a half separates the last 4 teams, Nighthawks in a playoff spot, the next 3 out right now. We start off with Valley Blue Sox, who have been up and down all season long. It seems like right with the Nighthawks, kind of changing blows all season long. They come in today, we already talked about it, with a record of 16-19 out on winning percentage. But you look at their schedule here on out, it's only 1 team above 500 that they play in Bristol here. They get them 2 more times, but around that, it's a lot of Danbury and North Adams, teams that are out of it right now. They got a really good chance of making it just based on strength of schedule.
Yeah, I think they differ from the Sharks. They're kind of the opposite there. Their schedule's a little bit easier coming in, and I think if they really bring the motivation into their games that teams need to do at this end of the season to combat like being tired, they have a real shot. I think out of all the teams in the fight, it'll be interesting the most to watch the Sharks and to watch Valley, the 2 teams surrounding the Nighthawks, to see what they do in their next stretch of games. Because like you said earlier, it's not just that the Nighthawks have to win, but they need a couple other things going their way to make it into that wild card spot.
And now looking at the teams just below them, I mean, they've caught fire, it seems, a little bit over the last few days. Ocean State getting a win over Mystic last night, and North Shore getting 2 wins against Upper Valley to really keep them in the chase. Now the Waves are just a game back, North Shore a game and a half back of that last playoff spot. So they're by no means out of it. They also do have a tough stretch. I mean, playing in the Coastal Division, you've got the likes of Newport, Mystic, and Vineyard that are in a playoff spot right now that will play you tough. But if they get a couple wins, they're right back in that picture. And they've already shown some fight to try to get in that spot, in that last playoff spot, and it's going to be interesting to see if they can keep up this kind of play.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just a scramble in the end. And talking to you guys, you interns who've been here last year, you guys said it was a similar situation for the Nighthawks last year. So I don't think anyone really, like, this was expected, that the Nighthawks were going to come down to the end of the season and kind of be on the border, maybe not exactly in that 8th spot right on the bubble, but they were going to be around here waiting for the last few days, waiting to to watch other teams. And I think that's the hardest part, is not only having to do your job, but then having to turn on whatever game you're hoping for. And like last night, it was hoping with the Valley game. So hoping that Valley lost, and they did. So I think it's just watching the teams around you.
Yeah. I think Tamburo said earlier that they paused Mafia last night to watch the game and see how that went out. So it's going to be interesting to see everything that goes down.
Anytime you pause the game of Mafia, that's when you know it gets serious. But speaking of those two guys, we talked a little bit with Jacob Price and Nick Tamburo, two pitchers on your Nighthawks roster, and two guys that have stuck with it all season long. Let's take a look back. Welcome back into the Hawks Talk podcast. We're joined now by two members of the pitching staff, Jacob Price and Nick Tamburo. Guys, how's it going this morning?
It's going good. Late morning. Overslept.
Yeah, we have a sleeping beauty over there.
Yeah, but we're here. We're ready to go. Let's do it.
No, yeah, definitely this point of the season where sleeping in late can be a little bit tempting, but especially since you two pitched last night and pitched pretty well for us. Results didn't go our way, but what are your thoughts on how things went for you down in North Shore?
It was a solid day. Solid fight both games. Game two, we just couldn't get the bats going. Game one, they got us on the back half, and sometimes that just happens. But we fought, so can't really complain.
Yeah, I mean, we got down pretty big in the second game, but they were also throwing a really good pitcher, so it's kind of hard when you're down by a lot to get the bats going. But I thought we fought pretty good both games. In the last inning of the second game, we had bases loaded with two outs. Like, we were threatening. We just couldn't get it going.
How has the team navigated having so many moving parts this year? There's so many players leaving all the time, players coming into, I mean, before Sunday. Is there new energy, and how's the team camaraderie?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely a different team than when we started. But I feel like most of the guys coming in have been, like, really open to, like, talking to people and, like, introducing themselves. So we're just making a bunch of new friends. And it's been really fun all summer.
Yeah, I think we have, what, like 11 guys left from what we started was from the Martha's Vineyard trip. I think there's 11 of us left. So more than half the team has rolled over in that time. And, no, we've been getting along well. That's probably big credit to Sarge, though. He's a very outgoing individual. He'll just run right up to you. So
one of a kind.
That's, oh, yeah.
Nick, this is a question for you. Through the summer, like, obviously you came in not knowing a lot of the guys on the team, but what has it been like playing with your teammate Tommy Kent this summer?
Oh, it was very nice to be able to come in and already know somebody on the team that I was playing with. It made making the rest of the guys a little easier, and it just made the playing environment a little more comfortable.
And for both of you guys, I mean, looking at it, you know, sometimes you see someone from your school on the other side of the diamond. I mean, I remember going down to Valley, Jay Bant was on the other side for Monmouth, and it's kind of a rarer case for you, Jacob, to see someone from Kentucky, but you also had, you know, former teammates from JUCO on the team. So I guess that question kind of goes for you as well with the bonding kind of situation.
I mean, yeah, like it's pretty fun. Like, you're in BP and you see, like, your friend across the field, and you just go over talk to him for about 20 minutes. And I mean, your friend's off the field. You gotta fight to win on the field, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I talk more smack to my teammates from Monmouth when they're on the other team than I do ever at any point. I let Jay hear it for all nine innings. So
pitching is a very mental game. How do you guys stay in it when, if something like doesn't go your way, how do you get back into it when you're on the mound?
You just gotta have, like, mental cues. One of mine is just attack. I say it probably 6 or 7 times before a pitch. I'm just thinking attack, 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 and it keeps you going. You, instead of thinking, oh, dang it, I gave up a home run on a first pitch fastball down the middle, which happened last night. Like, it's hard to throw another fastball first pitch and first strike, and you just got to keep thinking, like, I'm just going to attack, keep going.
Yeah, I have a little routine if I need to. I take, like, a deep breath, toss the rosin up, I'll step back on the mound, And then in my head, I just go, I'd rather him homer than me walk the guy. So that's the kind of mindset you just have to get into, is to just keep throwing strikes no matter what's happening.
What's the biggest adjustment that you guys have made for pitching that you hope to take into your collegiate season?
I know we've worked a lot together. Yeah, he was helping me this week with staying through my backside more and getting my, instead of getting my knee, because I was losing my knee over my toe, trying to keep that as much over my heel as possible as I fall down the mound. And that is, I've seen increases in my velocity just in this past week. So that's something that I'm definitely trying to bring into the season.
Yeah, I think for me, it's all been like mental. I've been trying to throw like the perfect pitch on every count, and I've been overthrowing it and either like yanking a fastball low and away or just like yanking a slider low and away. And it's, I've been just thinking, let him hit it, throw it to the mitt, that's all you gotta do, and think good things will happen. So just not overthrowing.
Yeah, Price, this is for you, the decision to go to Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky kind of runs in your family and going to the school with the Wildcats there. So what was that decision like with your family and trying to talk things over?
Yeah, so I went to junior college my first year of college, and about halfway through the season, I realized, like, this is going by really fast. And I realized I only have 3 years left after that year, and no one was really recruiting me out of high school or even like in junior college. And I was like talking to my parents. I was just like, you know, I'm just going to go to Kentucky, see what happens, and like try and get a spot on the team. And we ended up winning the JUCO World Series, and I just applied to Kentucky, went there, went to a high school camp. And they invited me back to practice, like, after that. And it's been the coolest experience of my life. I've always wanted to wear Kentucky blue. I'm from the state of Kentucky. Even, like, for Halloween when I was younger, I would dress up as a Kentucky baseball player. And, like, it's just a dream come true. I just want to get on the field one day.
Did you guys always know growing up that you guys wanted to play baseball in college, like from when you were a little kid playing Little League?
Yeah. There was, yeah. never a doubt. That's always what I wanted to do. I'm sure he's the same way.
Yeah, I was. And then I was short and fat. And I just but then I got tall and strong. And then I wanted to again.
Lost it for a little there.
We recently had a couple of alum players drafted into the MLB, and what does that feel like for you guys, knowing that potentially that could be you one day?
It's really cool seeing guys from this level in this league getting drafted, because it really goes to show you like how far we've come as baseball players, and it also shows us how far we still have to go, because the gaps between the kids who are getting drafted and then us might not seem like a lot, but there is a large difference in the little things that they do compared to the little things that we do. And that is what the scouts notice, the coaches notice, and that's something that we try to improve on every single day.
Yeah, you just gotta learn. Like, you just gotta look at the people that are doing it right, and you just gotta learn. And it means, like, we have a chance. Like, we're right there. We can do it. It's really exciting.
For both you guys, I mean, you pitched in really different situations this year. I mean, Tamboro, you got your first start back down there in North Shore, but, you know, you pitched in some blowout losses, pitched in some comfortable leads, pitched in some close games. So how does the mentality change when you're maybe protecting a one-run lead as opposed to trying to start the game off right? Or think about Price when you're down in Newport losing 11-0 and just trying to get some length. How does that mentality change, or if it changes at all?
Yeah, I just throw. I try not to think about the situation. I just try and look at the glove and throw to it. And that's all you got to do.
Yeah, there's not really a different mentality change, because it's always just step on the mound and attack the hitter. Maybe the pitch calling might be a little different in those situations. Like in a blowout, you might be a little bit more fastball heavy, just because you're okay with them hitting the ball. Because it's like, all right, we need to keep your pitch count down. You need to eat up innings. Whereas in a close game, or if you're starting the game, you need to establish your off speed, get more swing and misses, and just try to keep your team in the game.
The team is so close to a spot in the playoffs, currently just squeaking in. And a lot of people say that pitchers control the game. What do you guys think the pitching staff has to do to secure a spot in the playoffs?
The pitchers need to just keep getting onto the mound and doing their thing. If we keep attacking hitters, keep our walks down, we will win games.
Get ahead,
because we have a good staff.
Yeah, we got a great
definitely staff. Have a good staff.
Just got to get ahead and throw strikes.
Yeah, looking ahead to these last few games, that was our last non-division opponent, at least right now on the schedule, playing the Navigators. From here on out, it's all North Division rivals, including two games against Vermont. So these are games that we've played close relatively all season long, especially against the likes of Vermont, Keene, Sanford. So, yeah, just trying to stay in there. How motivating is it to think, okay, we don't have a long bus trip, especially a lot of home games here down the stretch, and also teams that you wanted to beat all season, this is how you could get in. How does that motivate you guys to come to the ballpark every day?
Well, for Vermont, for starters, definitely don't need any extra motivation there, because we need to win both to win the cup. So that would be ideal. But the shorter bus rides do make it a little bit easier on our bodies. So that's always nice.
Yeah, I hate all those guys. Like Keene bat flips on 300-foot flyouts. Vermont, just the worst. Governor's Cup, we got to win it. But, yeah, I hate every opponent.
I don't have that mentality.
Play with spite.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
I hate losing. We're going to win.
Might need to win out. We'll talk a little bit about that more, but we'll let you guys go. Jacob Price and Nick Tambro, thanks so much for joining us here on the Hawks Talk Podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much to Price and Tambro once again for coming down here to the Jam Studios to talk a little bit with us on the Hawks Talk Podcast. Now back, Ian, Allie, Megan, and we take a look one more time at the week ahead. It's really the last time we get the chance to do this here, but I should say weekend ahead, because we're recording this a little bit late on Thursday. But a home game against Keene coming up tonight at 6 p.m. We'll probably, by the time this podcast episode gets released, might have an answer for you. So stay tuned to Nighthawks socials. But after that, they hit the road for what has now become their longest road trip remaining of the year on the schedule, playing the Keene Swamp Bats at Alumni Field on Friday at 6:35. Then back-to-back home games against Sanford on Saturday at 6 o'clock, and then Vermont on Sunday at 5 p.m. And these are really must-win games for the Nighthawks, especially you look at the games against Vermont in the Governor's Cup. They need to win the last two games to secure the cup, avoid Vermont winning it, to become the first team ever to win it three straight years. And that's got to be the extra motivation to try to put a couple wins across the board.
It certainly is. I mean, again, Vermont's just that. We have a little extra rivalry with them, so that brings the extra motivation. But I think these next two games today and tomorrow against Keene can be really telling. I mean, if they come in and they get swept against Keene, that shows something different in the playoff picture than if they win out against Keene. So I think just coming in, I mean, the Swamp Bats are in the hunt too. They are in the fourth spot for the wild card, so the first wild card position. But they're not a team to just let go easily. So I think we might even have a better look just after Friday.
And speaking of where Keene stands right now, they're going to be motivated to win, because if the playoffs were to start today, they would start their playoff slate up against Sanford, a team that they are 0-6 against this season. So they probably want to win at all costs to try to maybe knock Sanford down a few pegs to avoid that 4-5 matchup. But they're going to do what they can do. Sanford also right in there as well, mentioned the 5 seed coming into today. They love to get some home field advantage if at all possible. So there's a lot on the table for these two teams. Of course, Vermont, at the top of the league right now, trying to secure the number one overall seed, home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So a lot on the table for every team involved, not just the Nighthawks on the playoff bubble.
It really is. I mean, we've talked about almost every team in the playoff picture. I think Vermont, the Gulls, and Bristol, because they're divisional leaders, they have a much easier time these next few, like this next week. They just kind of have almost secured their positions. They're in the top of the league, but it's just the wild card teams. Like you said, even Keene at the four spot has motivation to try to move, and Sanford as well in the five. So I think everyone besides maybe Mystic at six is going to be interesting to watch.
We'll have to keep an eye on the out-of-town scoreboard, but of course the scoreboard at the Maxfield Complex, Maxfield Sports Complex, as we have been doing all season long. Of course, mentioned a couple more home games Thursday coming up today against Keene at 6 p.m., Saturday against Sanford at 6, Vermont, or at home against Vermont on Sunday at 5, last home game right now of the season, Monday at 6 against Keene. We hope to see you at the Max. But until then, for Allie Wenskowski and Megan Robinson, my name is Ian Binky. We'll see you then. Till then, take care and have a good one.